Welcome back to Small Town Missing. I'm Thomas.
I'm Will.
And I'm Rhonda.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We are so grateful for all suggestions, sharing, liking. It's greatly appreciated, guys.
Yeah, and I will say, I was like, with this one, Rhonda, that we're kind of doing today, I think we're going back a little bit, like kind of towards maybe what we had originally on RTW's Wild History Ride. So we're kind of going back today with the story I've researched for you.
Okay. I agree, Will. I was reading it, and it is historical, and there are missing persons. It's not a murder
this
time.
It's not too creepy.
Hey, not a murder. Hallelujah.
I know. Well, I don't know, y'all. I mean, one of the theories you might come to see, but I don't know. I mean, we can't definitively say.
Why do you always go so dark?
It really would. But, I mean, listen, how dark is history, though? Like, literally.
I mean, you're right.
Every single thing we've ever covered, I feel like, has kind of been dark a little bit.
And I got a question. I would like it if y'all could let us know on the Instagram if you'd like us to go back to doing some history podcasts.
Yeah.
Just let us know.
That'd be fun. I think I was telling Rhonda before we recorded that I listened to our Salem Witch Trials video, and I really liked that one too. So that one was a lot of fun. And Rhonda, I feel like you really, like, you found your groove. That was when we were like early, and like we had found our groove by then.
I enjoyed the history. I really did. And maybe we could alternate.
Yeah.
A missing person and then a mystery or a history podcast.
I do got to say, it sounds a little dark when you say the Salem witch trials were fun.
I mean, listen, well, that time in like history, I remember like reading stories about that, like in school. And then also like, I don't know, I hate to say it. It's interesting. I guess interesting is a better word.
Yeah.
But yeah. I will say, we did say that RTW was only going on for a month hiatus back in the day. And that was about a year ago. So here we go.
Over a year ago. Yeah, way, at this point.
Yeah, way over. I think I saw a Facebook memory that said, I think it's been over 2 years since we started podcasting now.
Yeah, it has.
That's crazy. A lot of things have changed.
Yeah. Well, y'all ready to start this episode?
I am.
Yeah, let's get going. All right. Well, as Will said, this is kind of going back to our original podcast, RTW's Wild History Ride, where we would dive into historical accounts about various topics that we were interested in. And with this story, we're getting the best of both worlds. Today, we're going to talk about Flannan Island Mystery, or Flannan Isle Mystery, and the disappearance of three lighthouse keepers.
This one's a little creepy.
Okay. See, we've gotten to a point where I just run the board, and yeah. I occasionally chime in. So I'm a...
You don't know this story?
I'm very curious right now.
I almost covered
three lighthouse keepers.
Yep, three. Exactly.
Same location.
Yep.
Yes.
Same time. And I think, well, and I didn't really know. I mean, I guess like when I typically think of like a lighthouse, I only thought there was one person usually, but I guess in this instance, there were three.
Well, I think they rotate out.
They rotate out.
Yeah, there's shifts.
Just weird enough. I don't know. I almost covered this podcast though when we did the creepy podcast in October. That was one of the ones I almost did, but then I was like, maybe I'll push it back for later. So I was like, why not bring it back?
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Our story mainly takes place on Elan Moor, and I'll spell this out, E-I-L-E-A-N, Moor, with a umla or whatever that would be, O-E-O-R, which is one of the Flannan Isles in the Outer Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the lighthouse itself was constructed in 1988 and designed by a man named David Allen Stevenson for the Northern Lighthouse Board.
Oh, sorry, was that in 1899, Rhonda?
1899.
I think we said 1988.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1899.
Back in the 80s, Stranger Things was all the rage. That
would have been a little too current. Sorry, 1899.
No, you're fine. I just wanted to make sure.
And all of the material for the construction had to be taken up a 148-foot cliff directly from supply boats carrying all the materials.
Mm-mm. Thomas, that's your ideal job.
No.
The never. Heights.
I can't imagine. After the construction was completed and the lighthouse itself was lit December 7th, 1899. Mm-hmm. Now we jump forward a bit to December 15th, 1900. The 1900 lighthouse had been functional for over a year at this point. A transatlantic steamer named the...
Arctur.
There we go.
Thank you.
Rhonda knew.
I'm terrible at pronunciations. Thank you, Thomas. Passed by the lighthouse and noticed that the lighthouse itself wasn't lit. Mm-hmm. In fact, no light was seen at all.
That's ominous in itself, honestly.
It is ominous in itself. 3 days later, The Arctur docked on its arrived at its destination in Leith, which is north of Edinburgh, Scotland. Sensing something had been amiss with the lighthouse, the crew reported their findings to the Northern Lighthouse Board, who responded quickly.
Yeah, I mean, like, as soon I would assume, like, if as soon as you realize there's something amiss with that, like, yeah, you got to get somebody out there because there's going to be a lot of other ships coming through, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're talking about a pretty dangerous situation. There's a reason why there's a lighthouse there.
Exactly.
In an attempt to see what was wrong, the board dispatched the lighthouse relief tender ship Hesperus to investigate.
Mm-hmm. These are all these good names. I was like, let me give Rhonda all these hard names to pronounce.
Throw her some curves. The ship, along with its captain, Jim Harvey, arrived at the lighthouse on Boxing Day, December 26, nearly 11 days after the Arctur had passed by. Mm-hmm. So that's a good long time.
Well, and I thought it would be a little bit longer, honestly, because, you know, whenever something happens at sea, I'm always like, oh yeah, it's going to take weeks and weeks for them to, like, investigate. But they were on top of it, I guess.
I guess so. They sent someone out pretty quickly.
Yeah, as far as easily as they could.
Yeah. Wanting to make their presence known, the ship put up its flags and set up a flare, but no response was noted from the lighthouse keepers. Mm-hmm. Interesting. The three lighthouse keepers at the time of the story were three men named James Duckett, Thomas Marshall, and William MacArthur. The Hesperus brought a relief lighthouse keeper named Joseph Moore along with its crewmates.
Yeah, so, like, I guess in, like, for the crew they had, they brought on, like, a relief lighthouse keeper because they're like, well, if the lighthouse keepers aren't there or something's happened to them, we need somebody to be able to run the lighthouse.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I would have thought of that. I would have thought, oh, well,
they're okay, or, like, they're sick or something like that, you know?
Yeah, there's three of them. Yeah. I mean, three of them could not be missing.
Sounds like they're like, oh, we're really not expecting a lot here, you know?
Yeah. Okay, after docking, Joseph began the 160 steep steps, and you've got that in quotes, steep steps,
yes,
up to the lighthouse. Chillingly enough, along the ascent, Joseph noted three giant blackbirds perched along the cliffs, cast their beady eyes towards him. Oh, Will. Wow.
Yeah, and then, like, I think in some of the sources it said that he felt like a chill go down his spine, and then as he was, like, having this chill, they, like, fly out into the water, and he's like, oh, he's like, I'm not really getting a good sense.
Yeah, that's
here.
That's a bad sign.
That's ominous if I've ever heard anything.
And three giant blackbirds.
Yeah, so, like, apparently some big blackbirds, I think.
Okay. After reaching the lighthouse, Joseph began to investigate. He noticed several things during his investigation.
Mm-hmm.
The clock on the kitchen wall was completely stopped. Okay, so no one was there to wind it, obviously.
Yeah, but that's weird. Like, around the time, I don't know, those like tick for a long time. Like, I feel like that's really ominous. It's like, all right, like, it's almost like time has stopped here or something like that. It's really weird.
Yeah, like some event happened that caused a stop. Like, old watches, old wristwatches,
yeah,
or pocket watches. Mm-hmm. If something happened, if you were, like, in a car accident, they would stop from the damage to the watch from mm-hmm. shaking. So you could actually tell the time of death.
It's weird. I don't know. I just get these creepy vibes from this story almost.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The table in the kitchen was set for a meal, which was never eaten. Now, that is creepy.
Yeah.
A chair had been toppled over. The only sign of life in the lighthouse was a canary in a cage. Okay, so the canary was still alive.
Canary was good. So I'm assuming, like, I guess, like, before it had been taken care of before then, so maybe it hadn't been too long, was what they were thinking, I guess.
Well, we can assume it was at least 11 days.
Yeah.
Joseph then reported his findings to the captain of the Hesperus, who sent two other crew members with Joseph to try and find the lighthouse keepers themselves. The men searched and searched, but there was no sign of the lighthouse keepers.
Mm-mm, just like they were gone.
The only thing they did discover of the keepers was a set of oil skins, a fact which indicated that the three missing men had ventured out into the night in only their shirt sleeves.
Yeah, so, like, if, you know, I guess thinking that maybe they just went out into the night and it's like, they weren't dressed up, so that maybe something, they had to go somewhere in a hurry, maybe? I don't know.
That's what I would think, is something happened and it happened quick.
Yeah.
Jim Harvey, the captain of the Hesperus, reported his findings back to the board and surmised that the men had been washed away while trying to secure a crane or other materials during the storm.
Mm-hmm.
This could seemingly explain why the men were just in their shirt sleeves, especially if they had been in a hurry. The board superintendent, Robert Muirhead, eventually came to the lighthouse to start his own investigation as well.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like all of these people are telling him these things. He's like, okay, I'm going to come and like look at it myself.
Yeah, I can't believe what you're telling me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Robert apparently knew the men well. Well, that's probably why he wanted to check.
Exactly.
So he corroborated the findings after looking at some of the evidence himself. He eventually came up with the story that Marshall and Duckett ventured out to secure equipment during the storm. When they didn't return, MacArthur must have gone out to find them, only for all three men to be washed away and never seen again.
Yeah, so that must have been some storm.
All right, now why do you think he would have thought those two men, Marshall and Duckett, went out first?
So I think when I looked into, I don't know if I listed this in the notes, I think he said that he looked at the oil skins and it was either like he could tell it was his, or he's like, okay, weirdly enough, like I think this is MacArthur's, you know, oil skin or whatever. And so he just thought that somehow with like looking at that, he's like, okay, what I'm thinking is that he was in here, forgot his oil skin, and maybe something happened to the other man, then he just went out. So somehow I think he knew them well enough to be like, I think this is for sure his skin, and so I think this is exactly what happened. I don't know. Weird enough. I don't know why he would have necessarily thought that one went out over the other, but no matter what, I guess they all got washed out.
Okay, here's a quote from Robert Muirhead as reported in a history.co.uk article. I was satisfied that the men had been on duty up till dinner time on Saturday the 15th of December, that they had gone down to secure a box in which the mooring ropes, landing ropes, etc. were kept, and which was secured in a crevice in the rock about 110 feet above sea level, and that an extra large sea had rushed up the face of the rock, had gone above them, coming down with immense force, and swept them completely away.
Yeah. And like nothing. And it makes sense why there's not anything left.
As with many topics and stories we cover on here, however, this explanation didn't appease the public, who became enthralled with the story. Some people speculated that the men had been eaten by a sea serpent,
yeah,
or whisked away by a huge seabird.
The people like me, you, and Thomas, Rhonda, were thinking that, like, of course, like, so I'm sure the Loch Ness Monster's in there somewhere, some sea serpent, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, it is in Scotland.
It's more fun to think of it like that, and, you know, it provides some kind of sensationalism to it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what in the world was going on in Scotland that people were imagining this?
Exactly.
All right. Some thought that the men left the island on their own accord to escape debts, but I can't find any evidence that they had debts to run from.
Yeah, to escape. So, like, why would anyone even say that?
Yeah. Some even thought a ghost ship had taken the men aboard, or that the men had been taken away by foreign spies. Wow, there's some imagination going on there.
I love all of those. Why can't it be a little bit of everything?
Although these theories sound like a movie waiting to be written, the most curious evidence came when a logbook was supposedly discovered with entries preceding the men's disappearance on December 15th. Within the entries, Marshall apparently wrote about a great storm that hit the island and detailed his friend's mental states at the time of the storm.
Yeah.
Duckett was apparently abnormally quiet, and MacArthur, who was described as a big burly man, not known to have much of a sensitive side, was apparently weeping openly.
Ooh, y'all, if y'all hear it, speaking of, we're talking about this ghost ship, and y'all hear all that wind and stuff in the background, y'all might hear that.
Oh, yeah, we do have a thunderstorm coming up.
Yes, but isn't that weird, though? It's like, it's almost like, what was that we were talking about? What's a similar thing, like The Shining? Like, you know, cabin fever type of thing, where it's like...
Yeah, if they were assigned to the lighthouse for so many days or even weeks, cut off from a storm and relief, they could have just been stuck there for too long.
Well, that's true. I mean, like, if you think about it, like, how many movies or like how many things have we covered where it's like, if you're only with these certain people in this, like, you know, kind of like you're ostracized from general society, or in this, like, at the lighthouse, that's going to be very stressful, like, on your mind if you just see the same thing day after day.
I'm going to throw something out here.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah. Honestly, you're right. You're honestly cabin fever, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And when we could get out, everybody got out.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Entry stated that the storm passed and everything became calm on the 15th, which was supposedly the day these men disappeared. If that's the case, why did they go missing?
Yep. So, yeah, like, if there was nothing, like, if it was calm the night of the 15th, which everyone's thinking that's the day, then why all of a sudden are they gone? There's no reason for them to have been washed away at that point.
Many speculators now no longer see the logbook entries as a valid piece of evidence. The logbook was introduced years after the disappearance of the three men, so many think the book was made up entirely.
Yeah. So, like, someone was just like, oh, making it up to make sense of, like, why they would just be gone.
Oh, so do they know, I mean, who provided the book? Who found
it? I had a name. It was some kind of like, not journalist, I guess, at that time, but investigator or something like that, who I think said, oh, yeah, I found a logbook. And like, no one else was like, well, we never found a logbook. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Where did you find it? Did you go to the lighthouse? Where was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, where did you find that out of the blue?
Three main theories towards the disappearance of the men have been listed over the years. However, William MacArthur was known to be an ill-tempered man who was known to fight readily. Could he have started a fight with the other two men that led to all three falling to their deaths?
Yeah, I hate that they're kind of pinning it on him a little bit.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
A second theory, William MacArthur killed the two men and threw their bodies to the sea, only to kill himself shortly after by throwing himself off the cliff.
Yeah, like, there's no, like, I could say that. I'm like, yeah, I guess, like, whatever happened. I mean, but there's no evidence of that.
The most likely explanation was that the most likely explanation was that the men died while trying to secure supplies. Although many speculate why the men would risk their lives for these supplies, it must be stated that Marshall had been fined 5 shillings for losing equipment during a previous windstorm. So maybe the men wanted to make sure they were making the most money they could by securing all the equipment, only to lose their lives in the process.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. What do you think, Thomas?
I'd probably agree with that.
Go with that one.
Just randomly saying, well, he's got a temper, so he just murdered his friends.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit extreme.
Yeah, and they're I don't believe it.
Then the notebook just doesn't, or the journal, it just sounds like it's BS that somebody added to try and add some intrigue back to a case.
I think
because
you're right.
They ran out of stuff to write about.
Yeah, it's like a gossip magazine or something. Yeah.
All right, now didn't I read somewhere something about that there was a piece of railroad that was pulled up?
Oh, yeah. It was a little bit more towards the top of the notes. I think that like it, basically like a part of the track for the railroad was ripped up and like tied up and like crumbled basically. So this must have been a pretty powerful storm that came through.
Yeah, here we go. And I don't know if I missed this or not.
It might have been up towards the beginning, Rhonda. We might have missed it. I'm not sure. But, oh, y'all, I'm telling you, this is so creepy. As we're talking about all this stuff, all this wind and lightning coming through, I wish y'all were here to experience it.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. And I'm sorry, I must have missed this. Apparently, a smashed supply box was discovered along with its contents strewn along the ground. Oh, no, I did say that. Here we go. Iron railings on the sides of paths had been twisted out of shape.
Isn't that crazy? And like, didn't I say that they were like hammered into concrete? Or like, not concrete. I forgot what it was hammered into, but it was like basically ripped up. Like, that's the crazy part.
Yeah, it was pulled out of its concrete moorings. Yes.
Yeah.
And besides that, a rock weighing more than a ton had been displaced.
Okay. That's a lot.
My bet's on Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that was quite a storm. And I could see one or two of the lighthouse keepers going outside, getting in trouble, and the rest going out, or the one or two remaining going outside to help.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wouldn't want anything to happen. I mean, I would think, you know, they're in close quarters for days on end, and, you know, I'm sure friendships develop. They may have known each other forever. Who knows?
Yeah.
And I could just see they wouldn't want anything to happen.
And that's, I think I've heard from a lot of different, you know, sources over the years. That's like one of the most stressful jobs I feel like you can have, like being a lighthouse keeper.
Yeah. Anything where you're sequestered to a specific location and there's not much else around you. Yeah, probably.
I don't know, y'all.
Because, I mean, they're literally, depending on the weather at the time, you could be stuck at that lighthouse.
For months. Yeah.
Just you and your supplies in the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's bad weather, you have to keep the light running. So ships don't hit it,
yep.
Even during the day.
Because I can only imagine, you know, I'm glad those other ships and stuff were okay, but I can only imagine how rocky and stuff the terrain is around that area that the lighthouse was in.
Well, when you're talking 100-plus-foot cliffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's got to be some there.
Like I said, my money is on Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, obviously, as usual, all of our sources will be in our show notes.
And you can follow us on Instagram at Small Town Missing. It might have been at the very end. I had a third page that barely had anything on it.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for listening. Great time. And please continue to like, comment, share, subscribe. And, of course, give us any suggestions you have. Send them to Small Town Missing on Instagram. We are going to eventually
make a Facebook.
Supposedly, maybe. Who knows? We're trying. I'm sorry, guys.
We're live.
We will do more. I promise.
I think we're doing plenty.
But yes, if you have any suggestions, anything, any cases you can think of, please send them to Small Town Missing on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And again, thank you guys so much for listening.